On Daf Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, right after the Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to analyze the Reisha of the Mishnah, the first Halacha of the Mishnah. So before we start the Gemara, let's just quickly review the Reisha of the Mishnah. And the Mishnah had established that if there was a Tarovus of Dam and Mayim, as long as there's a Maris of Dam, then it's kosher. And the Gemara is now going to clarify the Dam Shenisarif B'mayim case. If there's a Maris Dam, it's kosher, but we're going to restrict that, and it's going to have to fit a certain pattern. Omar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Lo Shana, when do we apply this principle of Yesh Bo Mara Dam, it's kosher? And it doesn't matter, even if the mayim is the rov. Ella, that only applies kishe naflu hamayim litoch hadam. Notice the water comes drop by drop into the dam, and as it falls into the dam, the mayim is batel, and therefore the dam is not posel unless there's no longer a mara of dam. As long as there's still a mara of dam, it's kosher. Aval nafal dam lesoch mayim. If on the other hand the mayim is on the bottom, the dam is on the top, and now dam falls into the mayim, even if a large volume of dam falls into the mayim, and even if it still has a mar of dam, well, I shouldn't say still has a mar of dam, it has a mar of dam, and that's a result of the large volume of dam that overwhelms the mayim. Nevertheless, it's possible in Mizbeah. Why? Sharishon Rishon Botel. Every single drop of dam that falls into the Mayim is Botel. And it doesn't regenerate itself in order to establish a Rove and Bittel to be Mavatel the Mayim. And this din is a din in Kodshim, and it's called Ro'i V'nidche. This is the halach of dichui, meaning the dam was roi lizrik al gabi mizbeach, but as it fell into the mayim, each tipa of dam that fell into the mayim was batel, and it became dochui. And even though now, at the end, the result, when this whole process comes to termination, there's a rov of dam in the tarovus, and not only that, there is a maris of dam. Nevertheless, Hoel finitche, once it was dochui, then it's completely dochui, and it can't become roi again. Again, it was roi to begin with, it became dochui, and now even though it's roi, it remains dochui. And the Gemara Masechta Yuma has a machlokas about this din with regard to a carbon that's alive, whether or not we apply the principle of dichui to balei chayim. Can the Baal Chai then, later on, even after the state of Dichui, be Chozer to its original state and be Kosher? But as far as Shchutim is concerned, if the animal is already Shechted, here we're talking about Dam, then everybody, Kuli Amalo Pligi, that we apply the principle of Roi V'Nidche, Eino Chozer V'Nidche. We had a sugya earlier on Daf Ayin Gimel Amid Beis, and there the Gemara understood that, according to at least Rashi and Tosvis, the Gemara had in mind that Rishon Rishon Batel, because the din of Dichui B'Kodshim, Tosvis has explained over there that here we also say Rishon Rishon Batel, even though in other Isurim we would say Chozer V'Nir, and we would not apply the principle of Rishon Rishon Batel. However, Rabbeinu Tam's shita is that there's no difference between other Isurim and Kodshim, and if we find stiris between different sugyas, we could always say that the difference is between Nisarev Beli Hefsek and Nisarev Behefsek, which means that only in the case where there was a Hefsek, as it comes in, then we apply the principle of Rishon Rishon Batel. It didn't all fall in one shot, and therefore whatever got mixed up was batel. Our sugya is talking about a case where there was hefsek, and therefore we're going to apply the principle of Rishon Rishon Batel. And that those rules, those distinctions, will apply straight across the board to all Isurim. Rabbi Kiveger is upset about this, because how is it possible to explain that here we're talking about a Rishon Rishon Batel that would apply to all Isurim? The Gemara itself is going to clarify that in the case of Kisi Adam we don't say this. And the Gemara is going to say that in Kisi Adam there's no Dichui. And therefore it's pretty clear that this Gemara of Dichui, of Rishon Rishon Batel, is a separate halacha of Dichui in Kodshin. I would like to add that there's a kasha here in the name of the Brisker Rav, that the last tipa that comes and sets up the Mara as a Mara Dam should not be Batel. That very last tipa. Why? Because at that point you already have a majority of Dam. So why should it be Batel? And why shouldn't it be kosher to be Zorik? The whole mixture should be kosher because of that last tipa. And he explains that since the din of all this taroves is for shvicha, we have to just get rid of it, we consider it the last tipa of dam was misarev bedam psulim. In other words, since we apply the principle of Rishon Rishon Batel, the dam became posel, even though it has a mara dam. And therefore, what we have here in the last tipa is a case of a tipa that fell into a taroves of dam psulim, and therefore the whole thing is batel. Now, by introduction to Rav Papa, who's coming around the bend now, let's talk a little bit about the mitzvah of kisi adam, which applies in the case of shchitas chaya tahora or of tahar. So again, in the case of Behemoth, we have an Isur Chelu, but we don't have a mitzvah Kisi Adam. But in the case of Ophos, or for that matter Chayos, we have a mitzvah Kisi Adam, which appears in Vayikra Yud Zayin. V'ish, ish, mi b'nei Yisrael, min ager ha-gar b'solchom, asher yatsud tzayid chaya, o of, asher yi'ochel, v'shafach es domo v'chiso bi'ofar. The Gemara is going to clarify the mitzvah of Kisi Adam, and that this mitzvah is different from the din of a taroves dam b'mayim when dam karba gets mixed up with mayim. Omar Rav Papa. Uleinyan kisui, in regard to the mitzvah of kisui adam, we have a sugya in Chulin Pei Zayin, which states that dam shenis arif b'mayim Im yeshbo maris dam chayv lachasos, and the issue is what happens if we have a mixture of mayim and dam? Does the mixture still retain the status of dam and generate a chiyuv of kisui, the mitzvah of kisui adam? And from the sugya nechulin, we derive the conclusion that it all depends on maris dam. If it has a maris dam, it's chayv and kisui; it's considered dam. And here our Papa says, Enokein, which means that even if the dam falls into the mayim, we're not going to apply the principle of Rishon Rishon Batel as far as Kisi Adam is concerned, but rather the din depends upon the various volumes, the ratio. If the mayim fell into the dam, and there is a Mara Dam, then there's a Chiyuv Kisui. And the reason for this is that there's no din regarding Kisi Adam as we find in Kodshim l'fishein dichui b'mitzvos. As far as other mitzvahs are concerned, with the exception of Kodshim, we don't apply the principle of dichui. And in the mitzvah of Kisi Adam, even though the first tipos that came in were batel, nevertheless there's no din of dichui. When the first drops of dam fell into the mayim, there was a process of bittul. But when the kamus of dam was such, after all the tipin that fell into this mayim, is such that we have a maris of maris dam, which means that the dam now in its volume is overwhelming the mayim. We're not going to say that since when the tipin of dam came into this tarovus one by one, they were batel, therefore there's dichui. But rather we're going to say that when more and more dam falls into this tarovus of mayim, then we're going to say choser v'nir, so to speak, and we're going to be able to be machshir the original dam and consider a tziruf between the last dam that came in and the first dam that came into this tarovus, and once together with this tziruf we have hamara dam, therefore it's choser, and now the chalos chiyuv kisi adam goes back to its original state. And that's the shita here that Rav Papa is saying, that although in Kodshim we're going to say that when the dam falls into the mayim, we're going to apply the principle of Rishon Batel, and therefore the dam is excluded from Zrik al Gabi Mizbeach, it's possible because it's mayim and not dam. And even though later on, subsequently, all the dam that fell in made it into Maris dam, nevertheless, there's the principle of Dihui. Says Rav Papa, that only applies to Kodshim, but it doesn't apply to mitzvos because ein dichui b'mitzvos. The Gemara now brings Reish Lakish, and the Gemara on Daf Amid Beis is going to ask kashas from our Mishnah on the teruts that we're going to give to explain Reish Lakish. Shom Reish Lakish. Hapigul vehanosar vehatomi Hatome. So we're talking about three kinds of karbonos, of basar karbon, which are psulos, shebolon zebazeh viachlon. So let's say, for example, he takes a kezias of pigul and a kezias of nosar and puts them simultaneously into his mouth, chews them and swallows them. As a result of his chewing these two together, he creates what's called a blila. And now Reish Lakish says potter. Potter means we cannot give him malchus for violating these isurim, because yefsha shlo yirbe min echad al chavero vivatlena. In other words, once he grinds this mixture up in his mouth, then one of them is going to have a rov. So there's a tarovas of each one of them, but one of them is going to be batel in the rov. And once it's batel the rov, it's mitztaref elov. So just to review the logic here of Reish Lakish, when a person chews two pieces of meat in his mouth from two different isurim, they become mixed one with another in a result that there's a small amount of one type of isur, and that smaller volume will be batel by the larger type of the other isur. Now when a person eats that mixture, he's really in violation of the larger amount, because the smaller amount now assumes the same status as the larger amount because it was batel. But since we have no way of ascertaining which of the two pieces was batel, because basically started with equal sized portion of both, so for example, let's say the nosar piece received more of the pigul piece than the pigul received from the nosar, the person will not have eaten a kezias worth of both types of prohibited meat, which would have generated a chiyuv malchus. For example, let's say the nosar piece is larger than a kezias, and the reason why it's larger than a kezias is because he chewed them together and the pigul was now batel to the nosar. So now what happens is that the balance of the pigul piece is smaller than a kezias, even if you add the amount of nosar. So if the pigul is now, let's say for example, larger than an olive size, more than a kezias, the nosar piece will be smaller. In other words, it's never possible to know which of these two Isurim the person ate a Kezias of. And therefore we cannot give him Malkus for any violation. Every Chiv Malkus requires as a precondition Asra, we have to tell him, don't do this violation. So the Edom have to say, for example, don't eat meat because it's Pigel, or don't eat meat because it's Nosar. And he'll only get Malkus if he violates that particular Asra, whether it be for Pigel or for Nosar. Now, in this case where he ate them together, since the Nosar might have been the only one with a Kezias, so when they gave him a Hasra not to eat Nosar, he's not Chai of Malkus, because it's possible that the Pigel would have been the only one of the two that had the size of a Kezias. Again, the person certainly was guilty of eating a kezias of one of these two types of prohibited meat, but as far as Asra and Malkus is concerned, if there's no way of determining with certainty which Isur he violated, therefore he's potter from Malkus. And that's the Lashon of Reish Lakish here, Yefsha Shlo Yarbe Min Al Chavero V'Yivatlenu. So there's definitely going to be a bittul process as a result of his grinding them together. There's going to be a mute of one of them, which is mixed up into a rove of the other one, and it's batel. And Rashi points out that it's mitzaref eila, but in any event, it's clear that it's not mispatel, it's lowest batel shir shavim kolecha. There's no, shall we say, uniform bittel here of a shir from each one of them, and therefore, at the end of the day, there's only a kezias of one of these two isurim, but with regard to the other isur, there's pachas mikezias. And since we don't know at the time of Asra which of the two isurim he violated with an achilas kezias, therefore the Asra is completely invalid, null and void, and there's no chiyuv malchus. And this is all based on the principle of Reish Lakish called Hasra Sofek Lav Shmei Hasra. And this sheet of Reish Lakish Vasra Sofik Lav Shmei Asra appears in other sugyas and shas, mostly, primarily at the end of Masechta Makis. The Gemara now derives three conclusions from Reish Lakish. Shmamina Tlas. Shmamina, the first conclusion we should derive from Reish Lakish is Isurim Mevatlim Zed Zed. In other words, just like we have a din of bittul with regard to heter that gets mixed up with isur, depending on which is the rov, so too in two isurim that get mixed up one with the other, there's also a din of rov, even though there's no contrast of heter v' isur, which would generate bittul, but nevertheless there are two different isurim, that's enough of a conflict, of a contrast, to set up the din of bittul. And we might point out over here that in the sugya of nida, we have a case of heter beheter lo batel. Take for example the case of kelayim of tzemer pishtin yachtov. They're both heter beheter. There's no din of bittel, and one could have argued that in isur v'isur likewise there's no din of bittel. Reish Lakish says no, there is bittel of isur v'isur. Shmamina, the second conclusion that we want to derive from Reish Lakish is that the miut of a davar asur, shenosein tam barov, is lavda oraisa. And we're going to have to see exactly how we derive this conclusion, but let's just skip for a moment to the third conclusion, which we've discussed already before, so that's a little bit more straightforward. Hasra safek lav shmei hasra. That even though we know that he's definitely going to violate one of these two isurim, but since the hasra cannot pinpoint exactly which isur he's going to be violating, so it's a suffix whether in fact he violated that Isur that was enunciated, that was formulated by the Asra, therefore, Lav Shmei Asra, in the absence of Asra, therefore, he's potter from Malchus. So let's now go back to the middle of these three, namely, that No Saint Tam Barov, Lav Do Raisa. So we're talking about a case of Macholos Asuros, and if it gives Tam into Heter, that Tam Isur into the heter generates an isur of macholos asuris. The question is whether that din of tam is d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. And we're talking about, again, isur that gives tam to heter. It generates an isur in the heter because the heter is not carrying the tam. Now, if we would assume that this principle of tam, of nesinas tam, is d'oraisa, if Reish Lakish would agree with that, then in this case he could not have paskin that he's potter from malchus. Why? Because each tam of isur gives a flavor to each one. There's a reciprocity here. And even if it comprises the miut, it doesn't matter. There's a nesinas tam. The Gemara assumes now that Reish Lakish is talking about a case where the tarovus was made of different types of food, let's say meat of a zevach together with flour of a mincha, and therefore there's no question as to which hasra they give him, because if no Saint Tom is d'oraisa, then mimonav shach, he's going to be chayv. He definitely violated both of these yisurim because there's an asinus tam in a reciprocal mutual way. So we can calculate which prohibited food in this tarobes will maintain its taste when it's mixed with the other food. And apparently, Reish Lakish is of the opinion that tam ki ikra is only drabbanon, and therefore we cannot be mechayev and malchus based on tam ki ikra. Now, after having formulated these three shmaminos, these three conclusions, the Gemara quotes a kasha from on this second halacha that nosim tam is not d'oraisa from, and this is Rabbi's kasha from the Mishnah in Chala, the third perek. The chiyuv hafrashas chala from an isa, from a dough, is formulated by the Torah itself in the case of a dough that was made of a mixture of one of the five species of grains. That's chita, siora, kusmin, shibol, shul, and shifon in mayim. And the Gemara Menachos on Daf Ayin Amid Beis derives this from what it says in the parash of Chala at the end of parash of Shlach. It says, "Bamidbar tesva v'ayah b'chalchem milechem ha'aretz tarimu truma l'Hashem reishis harisosechem chala tarimu truma." So the Torah mentions b'chalchem lechem milechem ha'aretz. Lechem is a pas, is a bread that's made of one of these five species of grains. And we have a gzeirah shava, lechem, lechem, from matzah. In the parish of matzah, the Torah calls matzah lechem oni. And it's only considered matzah that he could be yotzi as chiv of lechem oni if it's made of one of these five grains. For example, if he makes a matzah out of orez or dochan, different types of rice and so forth, then or legumes of any sort, then he's not yotze the mitzvah of matzah. That's not considered lechem oni, nor through this gzeirah shava of lechem lechem would he be chayv in the mitzvah of challah. Masiv Rava asks from the Mishnah in the third parak of challah, Asa isa min chitin umin orez. There's a mixture now of wheat and rice. Is he chayev in chala? Is he not chayev in chala? The Mishnah says, "Im yesh ba tam dagon chayeves bechala." Everything depends upon whether there's a tam that's given from the chitim, that's the wheat flour, into the orez. And if there's no isa with a tam of dagon in it, then there's no chiv hafrashas chala. Now, from the fact that the Mishnah makes it depend upon, and the status of this isa depend upon the tam dagon, then we see clearly that if it has a tam dagon, there's a chiv chala d'oraisa, v'yafagav deruba ores. And the Mishnah goes out of its way to tell us that the ratio here between the volume of wheat flour and the volume of rice flour in this mixture is irrelevant. Everything comes down to the following issue. What is the tam? So you might have a situation where rov ha'isa is made of rice and only the meat is made of wheat flour. And nevertheless, since there's a tam,
that comes from the wheat flour, it's chayev in chala doraisa. So we see clearly that the din of no sein tam is a doraisa halacha. If it generates a chiyuv in the isa of afrashas chala, which is doraisa. So the Gemara answers that the Mishnah doesn't mean that this isa that has a tam dog in it is chayev in chala doraisa, but rather what the Mishnah has in mind is a mitzvah or a chiyuv derabbanan. In other words, this becomes chala derabbanan, like chala schutzlaritz is derabbanan. So therefore you have no proof from this Mishnah in Masechta Chala against Reish Lakish to establish that tam ki ikar is the oraisa. Now the Gemara says we're not happy with this explanation of Rabbah to defend Reish Lakish. Yehachi, if the Isa is only chayv drabbanan im seifa, let's look at the hemshech of the Braisa. And the Braisa says if he makes this Isa from a mixture of chitim and orez, and it has a tam dogon, adam yotzi ba yidei chovas matzah bepesach. And that for sure is a mitzvah doraisa. In other words, matzah requires lechem, requires dogon of chameshes, meaning dogon. Here he had a mixture of flour of rice, which would not allow him normally to be yotze the mitzvah of matzah, but since he has a tam of dogon in this mixture, therefore he's yotze the mitzvah of matzah, clearly indicating that the din of tam is a din doraisa. And at this point we have again a kasha on Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish was of the opinion that tam ki ikar is only derabbanan, and here we turn to Daf Ayin Ches Omid Aleph. I'm sorry, Ayin Ches Omid Beis. I just spilled my tea. Sorry. Let me take just a second break. Now the Gemara tries to reinterpret Reish Lakish in a different way. Ela min b'she'eno mino b'taima min b'mino b'ruba. If there's a mixture of two different minim, and the tam of one of these two minim is murgash, then the laws of bittul depend upon taima. And that's called bittul ha-tam. That as long as there's a tam murgash, then there's no bittul. And this is a doraisa halacha. Not the way we thought about it before, that Reish Lakish claims that no sein tam barov is not doraisa. However, min bimino, if you have a tarovus of two of the same minim, so they have the same din, they come from the same min, let's say they're both basar, or they're both flour, since they have the same tam, we cannot have a tam murgash of one of the two elements in this mixture. Let's say, for example, the rov or of the mute. Therefore, the din is that it's batel b'rov. And the only relevant factor here is going to be rov. If rov tarovis is X, that's going to be mevatel the mute, which is Y. So Reish Lakish is talking about a case of pigel and nosar, both of the same min. And therefore, according to Reish Lakish, the din is that the mevatel zed zeberov, because as we said before, if it's min bimino, then we operate with the din of bittel of rov. But we're not going to come to any conclusions based on Reish Lakish about a mixture of min b'she'eno mino. So again, we're not going to derive from Reish Lakish that when there's a min b'she'eno mino, which is nesinas tam, it's not doraisa. That's not Reish Lakish's subject matter. He's talking about a case of basar and basar, of nosar and pigul, which is min b'mino. And therefore, we're talking about a din of bittul berov. Now, come back to the case, for example, of chala, where we had orez and chita, for example. Then we're talking about min b'she'eno mino, and there the Mishnah in chala establishes that everything depends upon tam, and that's a doraisa, as we saw from matzah, and that's something that even Reish Lakish could accept. Now, the Gemara is going to ask the following question. Uneshayr min bimino kimin b'she'eno mino. And the Gemara is going to try to bring a Mishnah to support the question. So the question is that even in the din of min b'mino, its din, its status should be considered halachically exactly like min b'she'eino mino. That since we derive that in the case of min b'she'eino mino, we can be bodek the tam and determine which is the overwhelming, the overpowering tam, and that's going to be mafkia bittel. Why not apply the same din to min b'mino? Again, you're going to say that min b'mino is different. Why? Because it's all the same tam. And the Gemara is arguing that you shouldn't discard the model of min b'she'eino mino and the dinim of tam in the case of min b'mino, and say that min b'mino, all we care about is rov. That's almost like a zilzal to come to a very premature conclusion and set up bittul b'rov based on rov. No, the Gemara says we can superimpose the framework, the model of min b'she'eino mino onto min b'mino. And how do we do that? We have a tarovus of min b'mino. Again, we're not going to be able to be bodek the tam. You can't give it to an expert taster, a kvela, and he'll determine which tam. They're both tam is shav, it's min b'mino. But nevertheless, we can still apply the din of bittul that would normally apply to tam, like in the case of min b'she'eino mino. So what are we going to do? We're going to look at this tarovus of min b'mino, and we're going to imagine what would it look like, what would it be like if the tarovus was that of eino mino. And then we're going to be able to evaluate what tam would be the tam of murgosh, and therefore the dinim of bittul would depend upon tam murgosh, not on rov. Even if the miut is only a miut, but nevertheless if it has a tam of murgosh. So we're going to look at the ratios here, and we're going to imagine that one of those two elements in the mixture is eino mino. And therefore, if it would be no Saint Tom, even despite the fact that it is a mute, it will not be batel berov. It'll only be batel berov, or I should say batel, if had it been an eino mino, it would not give a Tom. And the Gemara wants to prove the underlying halachic structure or logic here from a Mishnah here in Masechta Zvachim. And what does that Mishnah say? Misarev, if you have a mixture of dam karbon. Okay, this is a Mishnah a little bit later on. And let's see if he tells you exactly where the Mishnah is located. Oh, this is the Sefer of Mishnah. Okay, fine. So Misarev, now we have a mixture of dam karbon before Zrika Agabi Mizbeh, B'yayin. And Yayin has, of course, a reddish color to it. Let's say if you're talking about red wine, and therefore the dam is not nikar in this overwhelming maris of yayin. Is rono so ki'ilu hu mayim? We're going to see it as if it's mayim. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, "My love, isn't it so?" That the Mishnah is not saying ro'enoso liyayin. We're not going to look at the yayin, which has a mixture of dam in it, ki'ilu hu mayin, and evaluate. Actually, my lav here should be understood as, isn't it so? Ro'enoso ki'ilu hu mayin means ro'enoso liyayin ki'ilu hu mayin. We view the wine as if it were water. We're going to try to determine whether or not this tarovus is still kashal avoda. And basically what we see here is that even though this mixture of dam and yayin has a similar appearance, meaning as far as the maris is concerned, you could still argue that it has a maris of dam. So for the purpose of Zrika, we consider this min b'mino. But nevertheless, we see that we're not going to say that the dam is batel simply because there's a rove of yayin, but rather we view the yayin as if it were a different color, as if it were mayim, and we're going to determine whether or not we can consider this as dam. And the same law should apply to a mixture of macholos asuros, even though, let's say, the macholos asuros and the heter, the iser, and the heter have the same tam, which means that the tam of the iser is not murgash in the heter, but nevertheless we should view, in this case, a min bimino, the heter as if it were a different kind. And then it would only remain permitted, we could only be matred, if it's such that had the flavor of the macholas asuris been such that if it would be tasted, it would have a tamurgosh, even if it were a different min. And that's what we see from this Mishnah here of Rono Sokilu Humayim, that we're going to determine this mixture and the kashrus full of Zrika, yes or no, by Rono So Ke'iluhu Mayim, as if the substance was not Yayin but Mayim, which means that if we view the wine as if it were a different color, get everything here in this mixture is totally in Maris, in color, so we're going to determine whether or not this is Dam or Mayim. So the Dam Shedesar B'Yayin, and this mixture in Yayin, is not going to be bottled. It's going to be kosher l'zrika al-gabim mizbeach, even though you can't necessarily determine and distinguish the mara of dam. But what we're going to do is, in the tarovis of dam and yayin, we're going to imagine as if, although it's min bimino, as far as the color is concerned, we're going to judge this as if it were mayim, which is min b'she'eno mino. So we're not going to apply the principle of min bimino batel, but we're going to evaluate the dam as if it were a mixture not of dam, but, I'm sorry, we're going to evaluate it as if, not that the dam was mixed into yayin, but as if it was mixed into mayim, which is a mixture of min b'she'eno mino, and therefore the Gemara thinks that we should apply the same yardstick in the case of a tarobes of min bimino of isa v'heter, and we're going to view it as if it was a mixture of eno mino. We're not going to apply the principle of bittel, but rather we're going to try to figure out what would have been, as far as tam, what would be the final outcome of this tug of war as far as dam is concerned. He points out here in the footnote that kishe'anu kishe'ein donim al isurim sha'isabem hu betamam el donim im b'mitzius hisbatel etzem hadover shes arev ein holcha b'zachar tam hadover el achar mar'ehu. So this is a sugya mirza shem adaf ayin tesam and aleph, in which we're not dealing or judging based on the Iser and its tam, but rather whether or not in reality, in Mitzius, he says, it was batel, the etzem adover, not the tam, then we don't use tam in such a case, but rather we use mare. And that's called in the Lashon HaShas, chazusa. Hecha de'ika chazusa. And the Gemara is going to assume there, again we'll get to it soon, that if there are two things that are shavim b'mara, then we look at it as a mixture of min b'mino, as if they have the same tam in the case of isurim. And therefore we're not going to go after the rov, which you would have said if it's shavim b'mara, it's min b'mino, and therefore we should use rov. No, we're going to take a look and see what would be if it was not Shavu B'mara. And the Gemara is going to apply that logic here in the case of a Tarovus of Isa V'heter Min B'mino. So the Gemara now says, lo, the Mishnah doesn't mean that we view the Yayin as if it was Mayin, but rather, Roim Oso L'dam Ki'ilhu Mayin. In other words, is it possible for Zrika, like Mayin? Right? You can't use Mayin for Zrika. And as a result of the fact that there's a mixture of yayin
Ein mareu nikar, you can't distinguish the appearance of dam here. Therefore, it's going to be bot barov, and it's going to have the din of min bimino's bot barov. We're not going to be mishayrit as if it was eno mino. Ihachi, the Gemara asks, if the Mishnah really has in mind that the dam is bot barov yayin, and therefore it's possible, why did the Tana say roamin also kilu humayim? It should have said batel mi boile. The Tana should have told us clearly that the dam is batel in the mayim. Therefore, we must assume that what the Mishnah has in mind is that we see the yayin as if it's mayim. And therefore, as a result of the mixture of min b'mino, we see it as if it's a mixture of min b'sheino mino. And that again brings us back to the kasha that we try to clarify, we try to reinterpret Reish Lakish, that min b'mino is batel barov. And we're asking now, Akash and Reish Lakish, why not be Mishayrit as if it was Min B'She'eno Mino? The Gemara now continues to prove from the Braisa that Min B'Mino is not Batul Barov, but rather Mishayrit also B'Min B'She'eno Mino. V'Otanya, let's prove it from a Braisa. This is in Mikvos. We're talking about a Kli Tome that has in it Yayin. Let's call it Yayin Lovan, white wine. Or alternatively, the Kli Tome has in it chalav, it has milk in it. And the Brice is going to talk about yayin, lovan, and chalav, because b'teva dvarim, these things, in a ma'at tarovos of mayim, a botol mariso v'nefach lamar mayim, these are things that don't have a very dark, you know, hue, a color, and therefore they usually end up with a mara of mayim. So what happened now? He took the Kli Tome, which had Mayim, which had Yayin Lovan or Cholav in it. Now he was Matbil, the Kli in a Mikvah. He placed the Kli, which has Yayin or Cholav in it, into the Mikvah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, okay, because let's just say in general that a mikvah that has a mixture in it of mashkim acherim that changes the color of the mikvah is possible. The mikvah must have a mara mayim. Now, if after this mixture the mikvah goes back to its original mara mayim, then it's kosher. And that's a Mishnah Mikvos in the 7th Perek. Nafal esocho yayim v'shinu esmar of posel. Keitzad yase yamtin lo ad sheyeredu gishom v'yachzuru mar'eyem l'mara hamayim. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Roanos, so we take the following approach towards the yayin and the chol. Ke'ilu hu yayin adon, as if it has a very strong color, a red color. And then we do the following. Neshayah, we're going to evaluate him. If when we put this Kli into the main mikveh, we mixed up the Yayin with the Mayim, and the contents of this Kli are Rabim al HaYayin, Ad Shediha Mar'eu Shal Yayin Kosher. The word diha means faded, and this is a result of dilution. And the color would have faded by the fact that it's diluted in the mikvah mayim. So roano so ki'ilu hu yayin adam, and if the color of the yayin adam would fade in this mixture in the mikvah, then it's kosher and it's valid for tvila. And the reason for that is because there's so little wine in the mikvah water that entered through this bucket that the water would dilute the wine such that if it had been red wine, if it would have lost all its red color, then the wine does not pass the mikvah. On the contrary, the wine is butter. So again, we're imagining this wine as if it was red wine, but yet it's such a limited the volume of wine, it's so diluted there from the mixture of in the mikvah, that therefore it would not have changed, even though it's red, it would not have changed the color of the mikvah, and therefore it's batel. But again, we see the same principle
that we view something as if it belonged to a different min. In other words, we view the white wine, which looks like water, as if it was red wine, and therefore we're going to be machmir, and we're going to imagine that if there was such a volume of wine, again, white that's now being replaced halachically by red wine, it doesn't become batel, even though the rove of the mayim, the majority here is mayim, but rather we view it as if it had a different tam. In this case, we're not talking about tam, but we're talking about chazusa, and the mikvah would have lost its appearance. So again, the wine was poured out before it was placed into the mikvah. Let's say it was poured out into the mikvah, and if it would have been red, the mikvah water would lose its color. That's going to be a posel. If we apply the same logic to the mixture of two foods, isa v'het and b'min b'mino, then we shouldn't say that the iser is batel simply because there's rov heter, but rather we have to look at that iser as if it was min b'sheino mino. So at this point, the Gemara with Hodas Baldin is going to agree that our Mishnah, the above Braisa, have established this halach of roin also in the case of min b'mino, but nevertheless the Gemara still wants to defend this rule that we mentioned above, Tanoihi, and say that this issue of whether we apply the principle of roim in min b'mino is in fact a machlokes tanoim. Desanya, and again this is a section of the Braisa that we just quoted, and earlier this is the Reisha of the Braisa. Deli sheyesh bo yayin lavan o chala vidbilo. Again, we have the case of this bucket that has white wine in it or milk in it, and it was immersed together with this liquid inside a mikveh. So he didn't pour out the wine or the milk before he immersed it in the mikveh. Is holchen achar harov. Okay, so according to the Tanakama, before we get to Rabbi Yossi's roim, we see it all depends on rov, and the reason for that is because we want to determine whether or not this liquid passes the mikveh, and it all depends on rov. So therefore, if, let's say, the bucket has only a limited volume of milk in it, then everything is kosher. In other words, when he does the mikveh water enters into the bucket, and what's inside the bucket? The bucket has milk in it or white wine in it. So now that bucket is filled with mayim. In other words, let's just use rov, that's all. If the volume of this other liquid in the bucket is a limited volume, such that now we pour the mikveh water inside after the immersion and it becomes rov mayim mikveh, then everything's fine, it's kosher. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, ro noso ki ilu hu yayin adam. And therefore it all depends upon whether the dilution problem, the dilution process here of mixing the yayin into the mayim would now cause the mara yayin to be faded. And if it would be faded, that's called dia mareu kosher. But v'im lav posel. And the Gemara assumes now that the machlokas here between the Tanakhab and Rabbi Yehuda revolves or can be reduced to the issue of roim. Do we accept roim or do we not? And therefore, what we could say is, just one second, that we have machlokas tanoim about roim. Whether we say it's ki'ilu min b'sheino mino or no, we just use the principle of bitul barov because it's min b'mino. So at this point, the Gemara is answering that the explanation of Reish Lakish would reflect the Shita of the Tanakama, who argues with Rabbi Yehuda,
And the Tanakhama holds that in min b'mino we don't say roim, and imagine as min v'sheino mino, and therefore we're going to apply the principle of bitul b'rov. And now the Gemara brings the machlokas tanoim about this. Desanya. Okay, this machlokas tanoim we have. Ureminu. Now the Gemara asks, do we have a stira between Rabbi Yehuda, who maintains in this price of the principle of Roim, against another statement of Rabbi Yehuda? And this other statement is a Mishnah in Mikvos. Deli shehu mole rukin. Rukin is rok, is spit. And this bucket is full of spit. Vidbilo, we put it into the mikveh to be metayer the kli, is ki'ilu lo tava. The rok is so thick that it doesn't get mixed up with the mayim, and therefore it becomes a chatzitza between the bucket and the main mikveh, and it's not a valid tefillah of the kli. But if, on the other hand, the kli is full of meiraglaim of urine, roino son ki'ilu hein mayim, we view it as if we define the meiraglaim as a class of mayim, and even though there's a slight difference in the mara, nevertheless we judge them all as mayim. And in the case of mayim, the din is that if he was matbil a kli and the kli is full of water, then we apply the principle of hashaka, which means that when the mei mikvah reaches the level of the mayim in the kli, there's a chibur, there's a connection between the mayim that's in the kli and the mayim that's outside the kli, and then the kli becomes tar. And this chibur of mayim to mei mikvah, which is called hashaka, is clarified by the Mishnais in the sixth perek of Mikvos. This is very practical. You have, let's say, a salt shaker or something that you want to be tovil, and it's got a very narrow opening, such that when you dunk it into the mikveh water will not go in. So what you do is hashaka. Anyway, continuing in the Mishnah says, mole mechatos. If you have mayim that already had kiddush b'efer paraduma for the purpose of hazah on tmei mason, then the tefillah is not effective ad sheyirbu mayim al mechatos. Which means that you have to pour into this kli more than from the mikvah, more than half of the mayim that's in the kli, so that yirgu mayim shall mikvah into the mei chatos, and then we'll apply the principle of bitul b'rov. So we're not going to judge mei chatos like mei raglayim and apply the principle of hashaka even if the bucket is full to the top with mei raglayim, but rather we're going to apply the principle of bitul b'rov. In other words, if there's mei chatos, again, the mei chatos has the status of tumas avatuma, which is metami something else. It has such chashivus because it was niskadish b'efer paraduma for the purpose of taras tumei mes. Therefore, it's not going to be batel the mei mikvah unless there's rov. But we're not going to apply the principle of chibur and hashaka. So the Gemara says, let's ask the following kasha. In this case of a dli mole mei raglayim, which is quoted in the Mishnah, man shamet le de isle roim, which Tana accepts the principle of roim, Rabbi Yehuda. Right? And we had the brisa before that if he's matbil a kli that had yayin lovan in it, we view it as if the yayin was yayin adam, and therefore we make it into a mimbeshei domino. We're not going to apply bitul b'rov. And nevertheless, this Mishnah, Lishitasa, but it says Katani, in the Mishnah it says, with regard to Mechatos, the Sagile Beruba, that it's enough if it's Batel Berov. We're not going to apply the principle of Roim and say, well, let's imagine it was Yayin Adom, and we're going to be Machmer that it's not Batel until we have such a volume of Mayim here that it would be Batel to the Mayim, it would be Mavatel, dilute and fade the Mayim of Yayin. So now we have a stira in Rabbi Yehuda, because we learned that Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of Tarovas Min Bemino, meaning that they both have the same Mara, Rabbi Yehuda holds that we apply the principle of Roim as if it was Min B'Sheino Mino. We imagine that the light colored Yayin was dark colored Yayin. Here, we're saying that Rabbi Yehuda holds that instead of Roim, we're going to apply the principle of Bata Barov. Omer Abaye Lokashia. And here we turn to Daf Ayin Tes Omer Aleph. And he says, to reconcile this contradiction, Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah and the Braisa are not going with one Shita, but rather Ha Didei V'Ha Derabe. The Mishnah that says that Mechatas is Bat Barov, that's Rabbi Yehuda himself, that's his Shita, that's a true, genuine reflection of his Shita, that we don't say Roim V'Ha, but the Braisa, that we view the white wine as if it was red wine, that's Roim, that's the Rabbe. That reflects the shita of Rabbi Gamliel, his Rebbe, who is machmer in the dinim of bittul with regard to min b'mino, and he said, let's look at it as min b'she'eno bittul. We're not going to allow for bittul b'rov. We're going to be machmer in a min b'she'eno bittul. And therefore, he's going to be machmer even in the case of min b'she'eno mino. He's going to apply the din of roim in a case where they both have the same mara. And as a result of this din, bittul b'rov is not going to be enough. We're going to require a shear of Bittul Hamara. And the Gemara now is going to quote a Braisa to prove that Rabbi Gamliel was Machmir in the Tarovas of Min Bemino, and therefore this Mishnah would reflect his Shita. Let's see this Braisa. So we'll leave this Braisa here on the top of Daf Ayin Tes Amud Aleph for Emirtz Hashem tomorrow's Shir. So we're on the top of Daf Ayin Tes Omer Aleph, the word Disanya.